This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, thanks for tuning in.
Kia ora, everyone. Both of us back again this week.
Yeah, it feels like it's been ages since I've been in the studio.
When was it? It's only been 2 weeks, isn't it?
No, three. Must be 3 weeks.
That is quite a while.
And we're in spring now, which is so exciting. I'm so glad.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. And it's been a big old time of poetry. Yeah. So we thought we'd do a poetry show today.
And how did your poetry event go?
It was incredible. So we had the National Poetry Day this year at the Athenaeum Library on the Friday, and it started at 5, so they did the youth section first, and I've never seen so many people in the Athenaeum Library.
Like, oh, it's beautiful.
Completely packed, all the mezzanine level full of people, and lots of people saying that they hadn't been in there before, which I love. Mm. I love when people are discovering it for the first time. And really welcome people to come in and just have a nosy, like you don't have to be a member.
Highly recommend, it's a magical place.
It is, And then, yeah, we had lots of readings from poet. Then it sort of was the adult section. And then we got a surprise reading from Robert Sullivan, the new poet laureate. So he did a reading at the very end, and he just had like a massive day. I think he'd been in Auckland.
That's amazing.
Just flown in. Yeah. Yeah, so it was really cool. But yeah, it was a real, real nice event. So,
yeah. In the spirit of Aotearoa poetry.
Yes. Well, yeah, because I was thinking we would just do Aotearoa, but now I've also got British poets.
Okay, expanding.
So have you brought in today?
I have read this week Liz Breslin's new book called Show You're Working Out. If you're from Otapoti, you'll probably know Liz, or from Aotearoa. She's an amazing poet. And this is her third collection, so published by Dead Bird Books. And her first two was Alzheimer's in a Spoon, which was one of the New Zealand Listener's top 100 books of 2017. And the second one, In Bed with the Feminists, was the winner of the Kathleen Grattan Prize for a sequence of poems in 2020. And that's an amazing poetry collection. I highly recommend you read it.
That's the one Lucinda's done the cover for.
Yes, yeah. Shout out, Lucinda. Yeah, Liz also has always got amazing cover art. So this new one is done by Jess Hinarangi, her Māori mermaid, if you might know her by.
Also a poet.
Liz is a writer, editor and performer of Polish, Irish and English descent, and who now lives in Otapoti. And this poetry collection was sort of came from her recent PhD that she finished at Otago University, which the topic was Show You're Working Out was the title, so same as this collection, and it's a queer exploration of gender, space and violence in the Pākehā stories of the rural south of Te Waipounamu, Aotearoa. There's a bit of a play in the title, so it's not when it's Show You're Working Out, it's Y-O, it's not Y-O-U-R, it's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, and Liz talks about how that play on your and your, it's hard to say it in words, but you know what I mean,
yeah.
Destabilizes a singular sense of story, showing that you're working out is what it can feel important to do in a relationship or in a small community when you want to be accepted. And show you're working out, Y-O-U-R, is sort of like what maths exams at school say. To put marks on the page to signify the thinking that you've done. So I like that play on words in the title, and that sort of sets the stage for the collection. I love this. I kind of went into it knowing I would. I love Liz's poems, and every time I've seen perform them live, it's just, one of my favourite poets to watch read.
Did you go to the book launch?
No, I couldn't go this, which I was gutted about, but yeah, it looked, sounded like it was going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the book is broken up into three sections. So the first one's called When I Leave the House, I Smile, and that contains poems that are talking about living in an abusive marriage. And there's a lot of different forms and sort of games in the section in the poetry. There's like a unfinished acrostic poem and a remix of a Shakespearean sonnet. There's a poem called Admit Impediments, which is a list I had to memorize. A list she had to memorize of unhelpful things that people have said to her. So yeah, it's a really beautiful section. Quite hard to read, obviously. It's a
Because it's full of speech impediment.
Just like sort of, where's the poem? I can't find it. There it is. It is like a list of unhelpful things people have said about her. So yeah, just sort of repeated, you know. And then the second poem is And Seeing That. And this I read sort of Liz talking about how what this section is about. And it joins up Pākehā stories over colonised time in rural southern spaces. And some of the poems came from studying the life of Hannah Hayes, who grew up in England and arrived in Aotearoa, New Zealand in 1882 with her husband, who went on to become a famous inventor. The story is well known in the rural south, whereas hers is told in a single paragraph in a family history folder at Hayes Engineering, which tells that in 1896 she went travelling around for 3 months by bicycle to all the farms in the area, selling his inventions and saving the family business. So Liz, they say she's someone that's been raised by colonised history making, who also at the same time upholds it by selling the tools that ran the farms on land stolen from Māori. That's kind of like a good example of how what I love about Liz's poems, how she pulls all these different references and stories into the collection. So yeah, and the third part is Born to Deviations, which continues the wider and queerer lens on the Pākehā experience. I'll read a poem from this section.
Great.
Where is it? This is one I've actually seen Liz perform live, and it's just like a very joyous poem. So it's called In Kathmandu, Te Tihi o Māru. Then for Aliana Gray, and there's a note, no actual lesbians were harmed in the making of this poem. The word mannequin means little man, but these two are definitely lesbians, and all we are trying to do is make them hold hands. When I say we, I mean I am leaving this to Aliana because of the skill saw hacking off my middle right finger. And none of the nurses were like, oh no, your middle right finger, which is proof that they were not lesbians, or at least not right-handed lesbians. Ellie is twisting the hand of the activewear-wearing lesbian with no hair towards the hand of the slightly taller, double-rolled outdoor pant-wearing lesbian with no hair. We are nearly there. We are nearly there. We are nearly, nearly. Queer joy tramping, angels singing, their fingers almost touching. Ellie twists the hand of the outdoor lesbian towards the outstretched, now hand of the activewear lesbian, and her hand pops off in their hand. We are twisting our faces in contortations. Jesus, F. We have broken the lesbians. We have broken the lesbians. Ellie places the guilt-filled fiberglass lesbian hand on the corner of the display, and we don't look back. Later, at Caroline Bay, they will hold my bandaged right hand above the water while I put the rest of me under.
Amazing.
Yeah. This really sums up what I love about Liz's poetry. It can be so funny and so moving, and yeah, it always just makes you feel something. So I highly recommend this Amazing. New collection. It's called Show You're Working Out.
So it was part of her PhD as well.
Yeah,
came from that.
Came from this.
Amazing.
So, which, yeah, also sounds like a super interesting PhD to read.
Yeah, I can't wait to read her poetry book. That'd be really cool.
What have you been reading?
So I've bought in a bit of a mishmash, really, of stuff. I guess stuff that I've just... Well, yeah. The first one I came across from this poetry online magazine called Propel. So that it's from the UK. It was launched in 2022, and it's a magazine featuring work of poets who have yet to publish a full length of collection of poetry. And it comes out every 2 months, and different editors do each one. So it's a really interesting way to connect with lots of different writers and new writers as well. So the poem that I've brought in to talk about is by a poet called Freya Jackson. It's called The Vase. She's a poet from Leeds and has been previously published in 14 Poems, Magma, Bath Mag and Rialto. And she was the winner of the New North Poets Award and shortlisted for the Write Review New Poets Award. So very much like at the beginning but of her poetry career.
Yeah.
But I just read it and was like, oh, I love this. And yeah, there's a recording of it. So I'm going to play that hopefully with my tech skills. Oh yeah, and so this current edition is number 16. And it's edited by Richard Scott, who I actually don't know who that person is. But I know a bunch of the other ones. Yeah, like Rebecca Tamars, who I've talked about before, and Jack Underwood, and Mary Jean Chan. Yeah. Anyway, so this is The Vase by Freya Jackson.
The vase. Being killed is easy. I should do it every day. When his friends come round, he puts flowers in my mouth and tells everyone how beautiful I look. He likes to pick me up and toss me from one hand to another. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to drop it, he jokes, and everyone laughs. It is hard to respond with my mouth full. When we are alone, he wipes fingerprints off me while I stay very still.
So yeah, that was The Vase by poet Freya Jackson.
Really like that.
Yeah, it's good, hey? It's a really clever imagery. But yeah, I love that. That sort of mean, it's just awful. Yeah, I think she just really captures that sort of abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love when, poetry I think is so good at, in so few words.
Yeah, because it's
capturing
quite
something
succinct.
Succinct, yeah, so succinctly and like intensely that, yeah.
That says so much. That's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, that economy of words and, yeah, not having all the ums and the its and the.
Yeah.
Unless it's prose. Were you going to read another Liz poem?
I was. I completely forgot that I had two poems to read. If you want me to read one now.
Yeah, and then I can share. I've got another couple of poets to talk about.
So this one is from, I think, yeah, And Seeing That, which is the middle section of the poetry book, and it's called It Is Said. It is said that the woman and the cattle around here are acting queer. It is said that if you hit them too often, they come to expect it. It is said that this lessens the effect. It is said that you can do much with a look, spare the child, spoil the rod. It is said that when she left, she didn't look back. It is said that nobody is ever purely bad. It is said that you have to put a bad cow down. There are men who will not take the shot. It is said that this falls to their wives. I'm a bit too broken, she said, to be true unto others. To be too, I'm a bit too bro. <That's that one. laughs> Yeah, I just really love the all the explorations of queerness and in rural Aotearoa, and
yeah,
that's really fascinating. It just yeah, I follow Liz on Instagram, and she posted the other day like a list of, it was a big slideshow of all different books that she'd read as part of her PhD, and I was like screenshotting all of them. I was like, oh, it's just my favorite sort of writing is where it sort of makes you want to go down all these different rabbit holes, like Olivia Lang, and as everyone knows, I love, can't shut up about her, but yeah, just that sort of thing where it just leads you into all these different areas you want to explore.
Yeah. So. Opens your whole mind up, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Who else
is she? Is she, so did she live down in Southland? Or is
I think so.
The connection?
Yeah. I
feel like traveling. Southland's such a, I don't know, I know so little about it. My mother was born in Balclutha, but that's not Southland, which I've only just found out in the last couple of years. She's like, it's not Southland. But yeah, I really want to explore that part of New Zealand.
Yeah, me too.
It seems sort of dark in a way.
Yeah.
And that kind of gothic.
Yeah. There's a really good poem in here also about, it's called Of Course There Are Other Ways of Reading Sharon, and it's after Sharon from the Spades ad. Ads. Do you remember the ad of like the two like oilskin wearing farmers, and they come in to the pub, and there's a woman called Sharon who's like the barmaid,
cool.
But they're like kind of talking being quite like what you'd call metrosexual, and like they order a martini off Sharon. She's like shaking the martini, and then it ends up with like one of the farmers wakes up and he's like, like, it's a nightmare.
Cool. I love when poems have names in them.
Me too. It's just a really good sort of queer reading of Sharon from the Spades ads, which is just, oh, I loved.
Brilliant. Yeah, so I'm going to bring in an oldie, but one that I love, who would have been like quite a problematic person to know if he was still alive, is John Berryman. So he was born in 1914 and died in the 70s. He's American. And he was sort of a major figure in American poetry in the second half of the 20th century. He is considered to be one of the confessional poets, you know, along with Sylvia Plath and Robert Lowe and Anne Sexton, you know, and also falls into that, like, took their own life. I think he jumped off a bridge, which I was like, so he died in 1972. And so his major breakthrough was a book called Dream Songs, and that was in 1964. But anyway, this is one of my favourite poems, and I'm going to play a recording of it. It's called Life, Friends is Boring.
Poets don't get very much fan mail. But I had a lot of mail after I published this song in the United States. I may say that the mail was entirely hostile. Life, friends, is boring. We must not say so. After all, the sky flashes, the great sea yearns, we ourselves flash and yearn, and moreover, my mother told me as a boy, repeatedly, ever to confess you're bored means you have no inner resources. I conclude now I have no inner resources because I am heavy bored. Peoples bore me. Literature bores me, especially great literature. Henry bores me with his plights and gripes. As bad as Achilles. Who loves people and valiant art, which bores me, and the tranquil hills and gin look like a drag, and somehow a dog has taken itself and its tail considerably away. Into mountains or sea or sky, leaving behind me, Wag.
So that was John Berryman, Dream Songs. Yeah, speaking about poetry that has names in it. So he, yeah, in his Dream Songs, he has Henry and then there's Mr. Bones.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bones is kind of Henry's alter ego, but then it's kind of insinuated that maybe Henry is John Berryman or the writer's alter ego, but he kind of uses them in this really playful, funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really clever. And yeah, I just love the end of that poem. It's just Wag at the end.
A strong finish.
Yeah, definitely. One other book that I was going to talk about who is a New Zealander is Emma Neal. Because, yeah, it's been getting a lot of attention, this book. It's Liar, Liar, Lick, Spit, and it won the Ockham Award. And I think she just won, I don't quite remember what the name is, but it's like a Janet Frame award as well.
Oh, cool.
I think it was announced like 2 weeks ago or something. So, yeah, Emma Neal was born in Dunedin and grew up or lived in various places, including San Diego, Christchurch and Wellington. And she did her undergraduate degree at Victoria University and did her PhD at the University College London. according to Wikipedia. Which I'm like, wonder what that university is, because that's what Goldsmiths is, but it's like there's it's an umbrella name. Anyway, she used to be the editor of Landfall and has edited lots of things. She's got 6 novels and 8 poetry collections. I was going to read you a poem that I quite fancied from this book.
Please.
And it's called Porky, and apologies, Emma, if I'm reading it badly and you'll happen to listen to this. So Porky, the real history of consciousness starts with one's first lie, Johnson Brodsky. That's at the beginning of it. The time I told my grandmother that rare treat, a school lunch order, had never arrived. It was a porky indeed, for mine was pure greed. I thought Gran wouldn't feed me her cloud puff scones if she knew I'd scoff the entire fish and chip feast, but my tail trapped her in the trouble of embarrassment. She phoned the school to complain. You must be mistaken, the secretary laughed. She had seen me clutch the steamy paper swath bundle, unwrap it like I'd won a pass the parcel, and devour every morsel. Under lunchtime sun, the oily salt on my hands shone glossy as beads on a princess dress. I licked my fingers, pink tip by pink tip. Does your mouth water too, even now, with words like secret, full, wanted, happy? But moments after I recall those chips and my new labels, greedy, piggy, fibber, I realise my first memory of a lie is a lie. Reaching back to years before, I remember how in a quiet house my mother heard the baby cry out from deep sleep inside the crib. I stood by the cot, denial and contrition struggling inside me like a demon and angel, too colossal to hold inside my skin. My mother, my good witch Glinda, asked calmly, "What happened?" I looked to the ear, looked behind us, looked between the bars of the cot. A ghost hit her, I answered. The punishment descended. I don't believe you, Emma. My name paled into phantom, ghoul, shameful, synonym for stranger. I felt my presence thin and thin as the dear chubby baby was lifted into our mother's arms.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I haven't read that book yet, but that's really pushing me to pick it up.
Yeah, it's a really strong poem. That's Porky from Emma Neal's most recent book, Laya Laya Spit Spit, which you can take out at the Athenaeum Library. We've got a small poetry section there that I think I've talked about before. It sort of started because Vincent O'Sullivan's family donated us some of his poetry books when he passed away last year, I think it was. And we've actually got lots of poetry up at the Athenaeum because the National Poetry Day is sponsored by the Phantom Bill stickers. So they make big posters. So we've got all these wonderful poetry posters around the library. Very I'm nice. On there too. Can come and have a look. It's the Young Writers Festival coming up on was it the 14th of September?
I think it's the 13th and 14th.
Yeah.
The weekend.
Are you volunteering this year? You did last year.
I haven't said that I would, but I might look into it. There's a bit less than there was last year. I should volunteer. It looks like a good array of events.
Yeah, I think it's always that thing of, you know, it's like you don't have to be young to attend.
No, definitely not. Like everyone, the things that I've been to in the past years have been fascinating and just like such an excellent collection of creative people coming together.
Cool.
So highly recommend going to that. And then keep an eye out. I'm sure the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival lineup will be dropping soon.
Yes, because I think they have their party on the 10th of September where they announce all the people. There's so many writers' festivals on at the moment.
Yeah, because it was just Word in Christchurch.
Yes, and then in Queenstown there was one as well, which I saw they had is it Sir Graham Sidney chairing one of them?
Oh.
And I was like, that's kind of odd. I guess he's just like a superstar.
Yeah.
In Central Otago. Like,
Graham in.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Is he a big reader?
Yeah, well, that's what.
Must be. It's,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's quite bizarre. I mean, I guess people would come to see to hear him talk, right? You kind of think of artists as being very much, they just let their art speak for them and they don't give talks necessarily. I'd be intrigued
to see, to have heard that. Well, I guess it's like Sarah Jessica Parker is on the judging panel for the Booker Prize. And I didn't realise how much of a reader she was.
She's Neither did I.
It's like, I love when these people that you know for something else are like really incisive, interesting readers. Like Dua Lipa is, she has a book club and she is like the most amazing interviewer I've ever heard with like authors. Oh. I encourage everyone to go and like listen to her.
Who is she?
Dua Lipa is like, she's a pretty famous pop star.
Okay.
I can't think of the songs right now. You would have definitely heard
like,
them.
Sing it to me.
But like, yeah, someone was like, I saw someone on TikTok, I think, being like, if you've never watched a Dua Lipa interview with an author, she has like a Service 95 book club is what it's called. But yeah, she's just an incredible interviewer and an amazing reader. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it is surprising, eh? I mean, yeah, it will be interesting to see what Sarah chooses as well. Yeah. I think she's got, I mean, it must be hard to come back from being a Sex and the City star.
Come back, what do you
mean? I'm still kind of like cynical about that, but I guess actors read a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, have a good weekend, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.